The kitchen was small but had everything one needed to make a hearty meal. A big oven, a microwave, a dishwasher, a couple of tables. It seemed old and run down, but clean. Seeing the appliances and the familiar layout made Thomas feel as if memories, real, solid memories, were right on the edge of his mind. But again, the essential parts were missing. Names, faces, places, events. It was maddening.
"Take a seat," Chuck said. "I'll get you something. But I swear this is the last time. Just be glad Frypan isn't around. He hates it when we raid his fridge."
Thomas was relieved they were alone. As Chuck fumbled about with dishes and things from the fridge, Thomas pulled out a wooden chair from a small plastic table and sat down.
"This is crazy. How can this be for real? Somebody sent us here. Somebody evil."
Chuck paused.
"Quit complaining. Just accept it and don't think about it."
"Yeah, right."
Thomas looked out a window. This seemed a good time to bring up one of the million questions bouncing through his brain.
"So, where does the electricity come from?"
"Who cares? I'll take it."
What a surprise, Thomas thought. No answer. Chuck brought two plates with sandwiches and carrots over to the table. The bread was thick and white, the carrots a sparkling, bright orange. Thomas's stomach begged him to hurry. He picked up his sandwich and started devouring it.
"Oh, man," he mumbled with a full mouth. "At least the food is good."
Thomas was able to eat the rest of his meal without another word from Chuck, and he was lucky that he didn't feel like talking, because despite the complete weirdness of everything that had happened within Thomas's known reach of memory, he felt calm again. His stomach full, his energy replenished, his mind thankful for a few moments of silence, he decided that from then on he'd quit whining and deal with things. After his last bite, Thomas sat back in his chair.
"So, Chuck," he said as he wiped his mouth with a napkin,
"what do I have to do to become a runner?"
"Not that again."
Chuck looked up from his plate where he'd been picking at the crumbs. He let out a low, gurgly burp that made Thomas cringe.
"Albie said I'd start my trial soon with the different keepers. So, when do I get a shot with the runners?"
Thomas waited patiently to get some sort of actual information from Chuck. Chuck rolled his eyes dramatically, leaving no doubt as to how stupid an idea he thought that would be.
"They should be back in a few hours. Why don't you ask them?"
Thomas ignored the sarcasm, digging deeper.
"What do they do when they get back every night? What's up with the concrete building?"
"Maps. They meet right when they get back, before they forget anything."
"Maps?"
Thomas was confused. "But if they're trying to make a map, don't they have paper to write on while they're out there?"
"Maps."
This intrigued him more than anything else he'd heard in a while. It was the first thing suggesting a potential solution to their predicament.
"Of course they do. But there's still stuff they need to talk about and discuss and analyze and all that clunk. Plus,"
the boy rolled his eyes,
"they spend most of their time running, not writing. That's why they're called runners."
Thomas thought about the runners and the maps. Could the maze really be so massively huge that even after 2 years they still hadn't found a way out? It seemed impossible. But then he remembered what Albie said about the moving walls. What if all of them were sentenced to live here until they died?
Sentenced.
The word made him feel a rush of panic, and the spark of hope the meal had brought him fizzled with a silent hiss.